It's Knox hanging out in the studio once again with another Project Homegrown band, kicking off, I guess, June, in the middle of June this week. It's the guys from VOR. How's it going, everyone?
Hey man.
What's going on?
Let's go around the room and introduce ourselves so we can identify voices with names.
All right, I'm Dan Scott, the lead singer and keyboardist.
Richard Jenkins, drummer, percussionist.
Will Jones, lead guitar.
Rob Fisher, bass and background vocals.
How long have you guys been a band?
8 months.
Yeah, about that.
Wow.
Yeah, we're kind of just starting out. So
you guys must have pressed the CD and sent it to me like immediately.
Well, because we produced the CD before we had our first gig.
Is that when you decide, like, what's that with a band too? Is it the moment you play your first gig, are you actually a band then? Or is it the moment you get something recorded, or is it the first rehearsal?
When we kind of get half-ass tight rehearsal,
exactly, yeah.
Then I guess we're a band.
Yeah. Now, we kind of knew when we were starting out that we wanted to do stuff a little differently. We wanted to have a CD as a product, you know, to mm-hmm. be able to sell at our shows before we even get our shows. So we knew that we're going to do the full CD to start with and then use that to get shows and sell it at our shows. So
how long did the full CD take?
8 to 10 yeah. months, yeah.
Wow. Yep.
I was actually kind of working on it before I put the band together.
Uh-huh.
I own a recording studio, and I started just putting together some heavy metal, hard rock instrumental tracks and wanted to find a singer, actually. I was looking for a whole band. I just wanted to manage the band originally, you know? I didn't even want to be in the band.
How'd you guys meet?
Over the internet, pretty much, huh?
Yeah.
Craigslist. Facebook stuff?
Craigslist. Yeah.
Craigslist is like the best thing on the planet and the most bizarre thing on the planet.
Exactly.
At the same time. Yeah. It's a brutal double-edged sword. So when you guys started out being a band, I mean, Dan had a lot of the stuff already ready to go, or some of the stuff ready to go. Was it easy to pick up on, or was it easy to change when you got in the recording process?
Oh, yeah. I mean, Will, you joined before I joined, but, you know, Will and Dan started jamming together and coming up with stuff, and they actually had a different singer at the time.
And drummer.
And then they put out an ad for a bass player because they didn't have one, so the only reason why I really responded was because it was like 15 minutes from my house. So
nice.
I responded, and, you know, we actually, Will, Dan, and I all really gelled together in the studio, and we were able to come up with stuff really fast, so it worked out good.
What part of town is where are you guys from?
The studio where Dan's from is in McDonough, and
nice.
I'm from Stockbridge.
East McDonough, so. Near Stockbridge.
Fantastic.
Yep. Rob's south in Stockbridge.
Okay, so everybody's from the south side around here?
Pretty yeah. much. Yeah. They're from
Rich
Noonan.
Rich and I are in Noonan, which is cool. We get to ride together.
Hell
we
yeah.
commute.
Yeah.
Save the environment. Are you also a green
We're going
band?
Green. Yeah, we are a green band.
A heavy green band. This there is fantastic. You guys are the best thing ever. So let's get into the music a little bit. Monday night, we're going to hit Slow Motion Crash. What's a little background on that one? Where did that song come from?
Actually, I write most of the lyrics for the band. So a lot of the themes are actually kind of dark. And, you know, we can't really write about rainbows and sunshine all the time being a metal band.
No so.
Yeah, I cry at night by myself. But I take it out of my lyrics.
In fact, Rob writes all the lyrics, not most of them.
Yeah. Well, you know, I was trying to give you guys credit. It's all right. I'll take it out.
The lyrics are really deep. They're open for interpretation. It's worth getting the CD just to read the lyrics and study them.
When Rob's writing the lyrics and Dan, you're singing them, how does that translate well? I mean, is it some of the times where you're like, no, that's not what I was going for at all?
Well, I have to enunciate the words a couple times to him, and then he's able to figure it
sometimes
out.
Sometimes I have an enunciation problem.
Rob uses a lot of big words,
thesaurus,
too.
So.
Not on the word of day calendar things.
Yeah. I do have to get the thesaurus out to see what the song means, but Robert Daldry, he didn't write those lyrics, and he identified with them. And I do identify with the songs when I'm singing them. I sing them with passion.
Mm-hmm.
I understand the meaning behind them, and
well,
we have people
crash.
That are actually inspired by some of the songs.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy because I'm thinking when I'm writing these songs, they're real dark, and you know I'm not thinking they're inspirational. But we've had people, you know, say, "Oh, I've played this to our, you know, our church groups," and they're like, "We really found something in this song. And it really lifts us up." And I'm like, "That song's about drug addicts." And I don't really know how that works, but Slow Motion Crash, you know, the first tune. Basically is about the environment and how the earth came to form and, you know, how things basically live and die constantly over time. And people can really get kind of caught up in the negative aspects of the world and life. And it's kind of about, you know, trying to break away from that and, you know where that came from and know, you know, all the negative things, but try to look at it in a positive light. So I guess that's where the church theme came in.
Well, Dan, by the way, you said earlier that you know you connect with the lyrics. You can obviously tell that greatly throughout the album. Tuesday night, Fragile is what we're hitting. What's a little background story about that one?
Fragile is kind of a continuation of the whole environmental theme, but Basically, it's about how, you know, our lives are pretty fragile, and we really need to take the negative aspects of, you know, if you're just watching TV, sometimes all you get is the news and you get, you know, all the bad stuff. You can't look past that, and people get really trapped in that. And, you know, some people can't even leave their house because they're just so focused in on the negative. And it's basically about that, how, you know, people can really get trapped in that and not see outside of that.
Do Rob's lyrics come first when you guys are writing, or does the music come first?
Music comes first. Rob will have a stack of lyrics, you know, that will actually try this lyric with this song or this lyric with that song.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes he writes 4 or 5 verses worth of lyrics and we'll only use 2 or 3. And, you know, we sit down and kind of put the melodies together, rough draft.
Are the rest of the lyrics in a shoebox somewhere? The ones that get cut out?
You know, one of those dirty notebooks.
They're on the B-sides.
There's plenty of music kind of in a shoebox, too. So.
there's music. I think the boys from Mastodon said it best. They have bags of riffs sitting around.
Bags of riffs.
And they open up a bag of riff.
You know, we're 60% into our second CD already.
Really? Fantastic. And that's when is the plan to have that one come out?
I don't know, because we just released the first one. But, you know, that's kind of the bonus and the bad part about, you know, our singer having a studio is, you know, we can lay it down so fast. And if we get ideas, like, boom, let's go over there and lay it down and see what happens. So we're just constantly coming up with stuff. But right now, you know, we're focused on the first album because we just put it out. We want to sell some copies of that, get it out. We're going to work some of the new tunes into the set for live definitely soon.
Wednesday night, Silence of Lies. What's a little background on that one?
Well, Silence of Lies is really about kind of being in a bad relationship. It's some of the stuff that I write is kind of personal, but, you know, it can really relate to everybody. You know, everybody's probably had this situation where, you know, you're with somebody. And,
Well, it's a pretty dark song. I mean, it's about somebody, you know, a man who was pretty much abused by a woman verbally.
And kind of
takes
it
so much. You know?
Yeah.
It takes so much before you
so
break.
So he's going to silence the lies. Now, we don't know how.
Yeah, that's where the dark.
That's
what
we. That's
in.
What we leave up to interpretation. Okay, that's what we're. Just what we're
He's
doing.
Gonna put duct tape on her mouth.
That's what it is.
Will, what's your favorite song to play live?
I really like Worlds Collide. That's,
that's
probably my favorite.
That's Friday night song. We're gonna get there in a little bit. First off, we're gonna hit Thursday night. The Sound of Shame. What's a little background on that song?
Sound of Shame. That's another continuation of the whole relationship theme. That actually is a personal one for me. You know, I've had some relationships in the past that might not have been the best for me. And, you know, when you're in that relationship, you don't really see the bad parts. You kind of have to step outside of it to see what it really looks like to other people. And that was kind of me writing about how I got through that, how I moved beyond it, and now I'm free. Woo!
Well, he didn't silence the lies. He
broke
away.
No, I just
moved away. Now, all our songs are not about relationships. You know?
No, the other ones are about drugs.
Drugs and relationships. So is there anything else in life when it boils down to it? No, there's not.
No.
Drugs and relationships are all that matter.
Right.
How long does it take you guys to connect with these songs? Whenever, you know, is it from the get-go? You know, I mean, Richard, if you first start off putting, you know, the first time you hit the drums on a song, you connect with it instantly, or does it take a little while to get...
It does take a little while to get up to it, and it's all about connecting with the song.
Plus, it's all about the double bass.
Yeah, double bass. A lot of double bass.
Friday night, we're hitting When Worlds Collide, closing out the week, not a Power Man 5000 cover. We'll go ahead and say that now. So enjoy the song. What's a little background on the song?
Relationships.
True, yeah. Really, it's about somebody who's in a situation where, you know, they're trying to work through it. They're with somebody and they're trying to make the best of it. But, you know, it's every day is a struggle. So you gotta move beyond it somehow. And I guess the Worlds Collide part is, you know, between the two people that are in that relationship. So, again, the relationship theme.
Well, why is that one of your favorite ones to play?
It's challenging. Really, every song has been a little bit of a challenge. I used to play in standard tuning and maybe tune down a half a step. And getting in this band, we got, like, the E string tuned down a whole step. So, but anyway, the solo area of it's kind of a little tricky. And just pretty much the whole song in a whole, it's...
So he likes a challenge.
Are there times when when you guys play these songs, and obviously you make changes to them, are there times when they're ever done, or are the songs never ever truly done? They can always change.
Yeah, they're done.
I don't know, man. You keep going back to stuff even from our first CD. You're like, let's remix that, you know?
If you put so much time and effort into something and finally you're like, okay, there it is, and you hear it over again, you're like,
what if I put that there? What if I did this there? And it makes you want to go back and do something. And it does make you a better musician. Why? Because it comes up with so many other ideas.
Any of the VRR songs like spawned off from something that was old?
Yeah, I mean,
we talked about that. Yeah, maybe, yeah. Because people really respond well to a specific song. Should we create another one with the same kind of vibe? You know, Linkin Park does that.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of bands do that, but then they start sounding the same. You know,
right. That's true.
I don't know. Personally, for lyrics, I'm feeling like, you know, the first album was a lot of darkness, a lot of, you know, negative themes, but kind of the way people were responding to it was like, oh, it's a little bit inspirational, this and that. Well, I think the second album is definitely going to be a little bit more inspirational, you know, looking at, you know, the positive side of things and, you know, trying not to be so negative. But so in that way, I think the lyrics are going to be connected, at least.
Are you worried about that as the band progresses? One, you know, not necessarily pigeonholing yourself as being the dark metal band that has negative lyrics, but at the same time, you don't want to be all over the place. Is that something that you guys think about whenever you're writing and recording stuff?
I think we all write what we feel,
mm-hmm.
and it comes out of us and our passion. So hopefully that will translate into the final product and somebody will identify with it.
Actually, a lot of people are saying we're sort of like 80s influenced. You know, we have some, you know, bands like Dio and Dokken and stuff like that, you know, that we kind of grew up listening to anyway. And we didn't necessarily mean to sound like that, but I think those come into the music. But I think what we're doing is combining a lot of that, you know, a lot of the 80s, early 90s metal with some of the modern stuff like, you know, Disturbed, you know, Slipknot, stuff like that, not vocally, but combining electronic elements with it, with sort of like an 80s backbone. So, I mean, I think that's kind of our signature sound, and that's what's been pretty consistent. I mean, to be honest, we're actually influenced by a lot of European metal bands.
Nice.
Like, you know, Firewind and Camelot, Scar Symmetry, you know, bands that you haven't really heard of over here.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, we're thinking that's going to be the next thing. You know, those bands are going to get popular over here, and we're kind of already doing that style. And they definitely include a lot of 80s elements in their music. And over in Europe, it's huge. So, you know, maybe we can catch on with a European tour or something like that. But we're trying to build it right here. And one of the big parts of, you know, helping us out with that was there's a group called Pathfinder Promotions.
Mm-hmm.
Hoyt and Patrick Paris, they really kind of discovered us and gave us our first show. And, you know, we just want to give a shout out to them, because without them, we would pretty much be, you know, still in the basement. Yeah.
Yeah. What they're trying to do is bring a higher caliber of bands to Atlanta venues.
Uh-huh.
So. Well, a lot of European metal bands too. I mean, they're bringing over bands like Evergrey, bands that are actually starting to get on Headbangers Ball now. So it's kind of a cool, you know, progressive power rock scene that's really starting up in Atlanta with the whole Prog Power Festival and everything else. So
would some of those Prog Power bands or some of those European bands be on the dream lineup for you guys headlining Lakewood Amphitheater? Who would be playing underneath you?
I know Rich would probably say like Dream Theater or something like that.
Of course, Dream Theater. Like Portnoy. Come on now.
Yeah. For me personally, bands like Camelot would be one of my favorites. And they usually play at, they've actually played at the Masquerade before, but, you know, if we had a big, big blowout up at Phillips Arena or something like that, Camelot, Dream Theater, maybe some, Queensryche, that'd be cool.
Queensryche.
What are some of the stuff you guys are listening to whenever you're, like when you're recording? Is there, do you get in a mindset you're like, all right, I'm going to listen to Queensryche, or is it like, I'm going to separate myself from any type of music
whatsoever?
We all
have our own different thing that we all listen to.
Yeah.
Try to get mindset. Like me, I listen to a lot of progressive type music, like Rush, things like that. I'm a huge Rush fan, Dream Theater.
It's because you're a drummer, everyone's a Rush fan.
Ever just say, I'm going to write a song. You know, it's just something kind of has to come to me. Or sometimes if I just pick the guitar up, I'll just start playing something and it just works itself out from there. That's kind of a Take It Away kind of went that way. Put it in the drop C tuning and just kind of fooling around because I was just trying to get used to that tuning and came up with that riff idea. So and just kind of progressed from there.
So you can get the album at through myspace.com/VOR, is that correct?
/VOR Rocks.
VOR Rocks. I knew there's always something on the end of that. Next show is actually at Sweetwater Live coming up. Project Homegrown Sponsor. Is it Friday or Saturday night?
It's Saturday night.
Saturday, June 13th. Sweetwater Live up in Duluth. Fantastic venue. Have you guys played there yet?
No, we haven't.
You're going to love it.
Looking forward to it.
You're going to love it. It's going to be awesome. Come out and see these guys live. It's going to be a fantastic show. Thanks for stopping by and doing this with me on Project Homegrown.
Our pleasure.
Thank you, man. Thank you. Enjoyed it.